The Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis tells us Kol Shebab B'Cham in May Erev Shabbos, anything literally that was placed into hot water or hot in Erev Shabbos, Shown us B'Cham B'Shabbos, you're allowed to soak it in hot on Shabbos. Says Rashi Kol Shebab B'Cham in Kol Merchin is Bashel. That's a code word for Bishel. Anything that was already cooked before Shabbos, you can place it in hot water on Shabbos. It says the Gemara Kigon Mai. What are we talking about here? What's this case of Baba Cham and Erev Shabbos where you're soaking it on Shabbos? Amr Safra Kigon Tarna Golasa de Rebbe Abba. Says Rashi, what was this chicken of Rebbe Abba? Mivash Rabin. They would cook it and then let it soak for a long period of time in hot water. Limchos me'alas, so that it would dissolve the ochel refuah, and then they would eat it for medicinal purposes. This is the source for chicken soup being the remedy for all sickness. Says the Agos Maimini, Perek Tes Os Aleph, and the other Rishonim as well. This mish is the source for the notion of ein bishel achar bishel. That after this tarragolus has already been cooked, after the baba chamin has already been cooked, there's no iser bishul to then do what otherwise would be an act of bishul. Rabbi Willard points out, Tosa Rosh over here on Kufim Heim Beis sounds like the fact that ein bishul achar bishul on some level is pasha. The Rosh writes over the Tosa Rosh writes over there, Perish Rashi showing us as man merubah. Why does Rashi have to tell you the case is at the Targosa de Be'abba, Rebbe Abba is where you're soaking for a long period of time? And if you soaked it for a short period of time, then that's Pashat. Sounds like you don't need a Mishnah to tell you. Ein bishul achar bishul. The Chiddush here is that even if you're being Shari it for a long amount of time, maybe you would think that that's Gemar Malacha, some kind of Makom Pathish, some other problem. That's the Kiddush of the Mishnah, that's also okay. But Ein Bishul Achar Bishul sounds like it would have been Pashut even without a Mishnah. So this Mishnah, on Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis, appears as well as quoted in the Gemara on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph in Perek Hira. And Tosafot writes over there, Kol Shebab B'Cham B'Lifnei HaShabbos, Perish and Espashel Gamri, talking about a case where the food item was fully cooked prior to Shabbos, and that's the example of Tarnagoles, the Rebbe Abba, and there showed us Abachamin Afilu the Kli Rishon. So then you could soak it even in a Kli Rishon. Now, just to clarify, our whole discussion in this context of Bishul Archa Bishul in practice is assuming that we don't also run into Shehi and Achlara issues, which we haven't begun to touch yet. That's Siman Reish Nun Gimel and the sugya is in the beginning of Perek Kira. So we talk about a heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. We're not talking about putting something al Eish Mamish, which could run into problems of Mefzik and Mevashel. We're talking about putting something on top of a Kedera, on top of something that was removed from the fire that may still be a Kli Rishon, maybe on top of a hot plate, but not al ha'esh mamish in such a way that would run into hachzara problems. So the parameters of hachzara and shia we'll get to at the right time. But we talk about ein bishul achar bishul, we're talking about ein bishul achar bishul in a vacuum where it's not going to be affected by issues of hachzara.
So whatever in the Gemara we see. The Gemara tells a case where you're allowed to put this food into this heat source. Do we have,
Right.
I'm sorry, where it says that you're not allowed to. Do we always have to ask ourselves, well, is that because of Bishul or is that because of Hamzara or is that because of Shia?
In most situations, if that's the only thing being addressed, it's probably a Bishul issue, not a Shia Hatzara issue, unless you're in the Hatzara. So again, it's in a Hatzara context. Okay, but to put something in a Klibisha, Chuhus al Gabe Eish, that would generally be okay. That's Magen Avraham points out here in Sifkat and Yudalit. So just for clarification purposes, when we talk about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, we're looking at it solely from a Bishul perspective, not from a Shia Hatzara perspective. There may be Hatzara concerns as well on this side. The Tosas writes over here that when we say Ein Bishul Achabishul, and the example, the way Tosas understands of the Mishnah, the Gemara on Kufim Hayam and Beis, we're talking about something that is Nisbashel Kulo, Nisbashel Gamri, and that's where we say Ein Bishul Achabishul. But if it wasn't fully cooked, even if it may have been cooked Kamachal Ben Drusai, which we'll define, there still could be a problem of Bishul Achar Bishul. Their halacha here in Sif Dalet quotes a whole slew of Rishonim that are of this opinion of the Bali Tosos, Sefer Truma, Smag, Smak, Hagas Maimonides, all the standard cast of Bali Tosos that you'd expect to see in the same breath. Hagos Maimonides, for example, Perek Gimel Os Ches, says that you're not allowed to cover a kedera if the contents weren't yet nisvashel kol tzarko, if it wasn't nigvar bishula, because there, even if it's already partially cooked, if you're going to continue to cook it, that's a violation of bishul, and covering a pot is mekarei bishul, as we'll talk about. That would be a bishul problem. So all those Bali Tosos are of the opinion that the heter of ein bishul achar bishul is only by something that is nisvashel lagamri. However, the Rashba here on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskal HaKol, the Rashba is of the opinion that once something is nisvashel kemachal ben drusai, once it's cooked to the point that it's edible, even if it's not fully cooked, but at least edible b'shas on a baseline level, then we say ein bishul achar bishul, lashon Rashba. Perish Shabbat b'chamim milufnei Shabbos, the nisvashel kemachal ben drusai. The shuv ein b'mishem bishul, the hilchach shorin osav afilu b'chamin b'kli rishon. According to the Rashi, once it's cooked kamacha ben drusai, even if further cooking will yet enhance it and complete the bishul process, you still say ein bishul achar bishul. Yeah.
Would the Gemara of Kufim indicate that the daf was something that's fully cooked?
Why?
The example of Tanakh also something that had been like assumed for days.
Well, that's how Rashi explains Tana Golasa, and that's how Tosa understood Tana Golasa. That's not, the Gemara doesn't tell you that, right? The Gemara just tells you Tana Golasa debate the Rabbi Abba. How do you know what that is, right? So for the Rashba, presumably Tana Golasa with the Rabbi Abba was cooked to a lesser extent. Okay, so what is Macha Ben Drusai, which according to the Rashba is the point at which something will be subject to ein bishul achar bishul. So the Gemara introduces Kamachal ben Drusai in the Sugya Yetesim Beis Kaf Amud Aleph. This is those Mishnayos and the Gemaras that we've encountered in other contexts so far of a Malacha that starts on Erev Shabbos continues into Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us on Yetesim Beis Ein Sol in Basar Basar Lebeitza. That you're only allowed to roast meat, onion, egg in such a way that the roasting takes place, is effective before Shabbos begins. Says the Gemara on Kaf Amud Aleph, the Kama. What is that shear that is considered to have been roasted enough before Shabbos begins that there's no melacha exposure? Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Rav, Kidei Sheyatzol Mibo Yom, Kamacha Ben Drusai. It means that it was cooked enough in Erev Shabbos to the point of Macha ben Drusai. Rashi ben Drusai listem hava haya umvasha bishulo shlish. So ben Drusai was some famous robber that would eat on the go and would cook his food to the minimum to make it edible, which Rashi tells you was a third cooked. Emer nami amar vasi amar Yochanan koshu kamacha ben Drusai. Ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim. So that shear is relevant not only in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Hilchos Bishul Akum as well. Tanya Chananya Omer kol shem kemachal ben drusai mutar la'ashos v'gabi kira v'af pi she'ein guf v'ktumah. That's relevant in a shehiyah context, which we'll get to at the right time. So this is where the Gemara introduces machal ben drusai in the context of solin kedei she'yatzol mevod yom. And here Rashi tells us that machal ben drusai is one third cooked. The Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Hey, Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Hey, is of the opinion that Machal Ben Drusai is one half cooked. And this comes up or is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Resh Nun Daled Seif Beis. Resh Nun Daled Seif Beis. In Sol and Batzel, the Beis of Batzel, Gabi Rechol, Me'el Kadei Sheyitzim Vol Yom, Mishnei Stada, Temachah Ben Drusai, Vehu Chatzi Bishula. So Mechaber says, like the Rambam, that Temachah Ben Drusai is one half cooked. The halacha points out, if you do halacha about kishenitzla, it may be a different standard for tzli than bishul. Even if it comes to bishul, when it comes to bishul, we may be machmir for kol tzarko, even though the Rishonim may agree by tzli that malchum and drusai is the shear of record.
The sure for one exactly.
For
Okay.
at what point is something nismashal enough that it's not subject to a violation of an iser bishul going forward?
Oh, we mean the
So
whole
ein
thing.
bishul, so Berlacha says, even the Bali Tosfos that say that ein bishul achar bishul is only relevant once it's nismashal kol tzarko, that may only be true for bishul and not for tzli, based on the sugya and yotes and kaf. When it comes to tzli, it could be everyone agrees that once it's nismashal k'malchum and drusai is not subject to subsequent tzli. Yeah.
And also, these lines of one third and one half appear to be kind of like almost arbitrary. Meaning to say, I would have thought that it would maybe be more sovereign to say that that line would be the minimum amount that anybody would get whatever cook it, instead of just saying one half. Take the fully cooked, divide by two, and then you're good. That's like
Well,
me.
in theory, malchum and drusai means the minimum amount of cooking that would make it edible to eat ayudei b'chak,
So then,
or that anyone would eat
is
it at
there
that
actually
point.
no hope between the Rashi and the Rambam?
Sounds a good one, says the half, one says a third. I mean, the Chazanish points out, how do you calculate that? So you calculate that in time.
Yeah.
I mean, if it takes the 3 hours to cook something, so malchum and drusai, you'd be cooking it for an hour and a half or an hour.
Yeah, but if it takes 45 minutes to cook a piece of chicken, you put it in there for
Right?
20 minutes, it's still
Right?
raw, no one's gonna eat it. Not even Ben Drusai is gonna eat it. So I assume. I mean, raw chicken is dangerous.
Experiment.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to ice cream. Doesn't matter. I mean, so you would think that for every item, you should be doing your own experiments and not necessarily relying on one third or one half just by calculation.
I hear. I will see that there may be things with different standards of Malchum and Drusai, but the Poskim don't seem to say what you're saying. I guess we can give that some further thought why. Or maybe we should experiment. We can have a challah and cook-off. Okay. But where the Rambam does introduce this shear Malchum and Drusai is itself an interesting context, which requires some further analysis, even though it may not be as critical l'halacha. And that the Rambam Paratest Halacha Hey is based off a Gemara in Menachos on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara in Menachos on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Rachana, Rabbi Yochanan, Hiniach Basar al Gabi Gechalim, if you put meat on top of coals, keep it bo chayiv. If you move it around, then you're chayiv for Bishul and Shabbos. Well, it sounds like we're talking about Bishul. You're chayiv on Shabbos. Lo hipich bo pater. If you don't move it around, then you're pater. Hey Chidami, so what's this case where there's a difference between moving around the coal, moving around the basar, and not moving around the basar on the coals? If we're talking about a case where without moving it, it's not going to affect bishul pshita, then obviously you only chayiv for bishul by moving it, because if you don't move it, there's no bishul period. Ella de'ilo ma'apich le nami av bishul. But if we're talking about a case where without moving it, you still affect bishul, a mile of chayiv. So why aren't you chayiv even if you don't move it? Lo tzricha de'ilo hipich ba av bishul mitzad echa kamacham and dusai. If you don't do anything, then it's going to be cooked only on one side, kamachal ben dusai. V'chima hapech bei bishul mishneis da the kamachal ben dusai. But once you move it around, then it's going to affect Bishul on both sides. Kamacha ben Dusai. Kamash Milan, the Kami said Echa, Kamacha ben Dusai Loklamu. If it's only cooked at one side, Kamacha ben Dusai, that's not Bishul. And then Amarava, Vim Nitzlabo, Kigrogeres, Mithad Echa, Bimacha Mechad. If you roast a Grogeres worth of this meat on one side, then Chayef. Amale Ravina, Ravashi, Bimacha Mechad, in Mishnai, Mugimu, Kamaslo. Is that only, is that true? You only chayev if you roast it in one place, but not in two, three places. So then there are two approaches in the Gemara, whether that's true or not. Is there, bottom line, a difference between roasting it in one place, roasting it in two or three places? So this is the Gemara that is the background for the Rambam that we're going to look at now. Just before that, when the Gemara is talking about Nitzla Bokri Gergeres from Malcolm Echad, Rashi says, we're talking about Tzliya Gemura, if it is fully roasted, so then you're going to be Chayiv if there's a Gergeres from Malcolm Echad. It says the Rambam, Hiniach Basar Al Gabi Gecholim. In this labo kigrogeres, so if you're doing tzli of a grogeres worth, afilu bishnayim v'shloshim makamos, even if it's two or three places, meaning that you get to the shear of a grogeres by the mitzarev two or three places, two or three points of the meat where together it gets the shear of grogeres that you are soleh, then you're chayiv. Lo nisaboker gergeres, but if you didn't affect tzli of a gergeres worth of meat, aval nisbashel kulo chatzi bishel chayiv. So if you weren't sole a gergeres worth, but your mevashel the entire piece of meat, kashir machal ben drusai, then you're chayiv. So in that contrast, it sounds like where you're tzole, it has to be tzole called sarfo, maybe. But, and then you're chayiv begrogeres. If it's nisbashel kulo kamacha ben drusai, you're chayiv. Nisbashel chatzi bishel mitzad echad pater. But if it's nisbashel kamacha ben drusai only on one side of the meat, then pater, you're only going to be chayiv if it's chatzi bishul on both sides. Says the Ketha Mishnah, Pothev Ramach, Lo Yadati Mi Ayin Hotzizeh, De Maishna Bishol Mitzli. The Rambam is saying, when it comes to Bishol, you're only going to be Chayav, if it's Nisbashel Kamacha Ben Drusai, if it's Nisbashel on both sides, but not on one side. When it comes to tzli, there's no discussion of sides. And the Rambam doesn't invoke Machab ben Dusai. So what's this distinction between tzli and bishul? The gam lo yadati mai chati bishul shu chayev ki nispashek Machab ben Dusai kula bishul u lagabi Shabbos. Bimlo nispashek Machab ben Dusai Amai Chayiv L'Inyan Shabbos. And the Ketha Mishnah is bothered by the nomenclature. that Macha ben Drusai is a Shir Bishul. So once it's Nisbashka Macha ben Drusai, why are you calling that Chatzi Bishul? Even though there I would have said, yeah, it's halakhically bishul, but that's still chatzi bishul is what Macha ben Drusai is. So that's that we'll come back to in a second with the Sagas Arayvin. Just to read 1 second, the way the Aruch HaShulchan framed the challenge in understanding the Rambam. Aruch HaShulchan here, Shin Yuches Vav. In a Rambam, so ver b'chol makom the Macha ben Yisai yu chati bishul. Right, the Rambam holds Macha ben Yisai means half bishul. But Masha Kasev on this bashul kulo chati bishul chayev ein amuva. But the problem is, what's that lashon of the entire thing? This bashul kulo a chati bishul. Dim kavanasu de b'chati bishul ein o chayev bikro garezav l'kulo. If the Rambam is coming to tell you that you're only chayif in the spashka and dusai if the entire piece of meat is cooked in macham and dusai, but not if only a kigrogeres is cooked in macham and dusai, then minali lomer came. What's the source for that? And that seems to be what the Ketha Mishnah is bothered by. Vinira shedikta ke milashin ashas midika amar mitzad echad kamacham and dusai. Then it's Shmamina Lo. So the Rambam seems to got it for the Gemara, because the Gemara has one din of Nispash Dusai, and there's a distinction between if it's cooked on one side, it's cooked on two sides. And then when the Gemara talks about sleeve, Bikrogeres, so there, all you need is a grogeres. So what's that talking about? That's probably talking, it sounds like that's talking about Bishul Gomer. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, lo ala Rambam, tlunas kam ala ala Gemara, that we see where the Rambam got it from. What we don't understand is why that makes sense in Svara and why the Gemara is saying that. The Mikal Malkam Dabar Tema, who says the Aruch HaShulchan, that seems to be where the Rambam got it from, that there's a distinction between Nisbashu Chotzarcho, where even Bikrogeres, you're going to be Chayiv, or Kamacha Bedusai, where you're only Chayiv if the entire thing is Nisbashu Kamacha Ben Drusai. And what's the Raavad Masik over here? The Rambam says Nisbashu Kulo Chatzi Bishul Chayiv. That if the entire piece of meat is cooked b'chatzi bishul, then you're chayiv. Says the Ravid, Perush Kamacha ben Drusai. When the Rambam says nisbashu kulo chatzi bishul, it means nisbashu kulo macha ben Drusai, which is how we read the Rambam. So then the Ravid is not coming to be cholak on the Rambam. The Ravid is coming to be mefarish the Rambam, and that basically addresses the Ketha Mishnah's problem with what's this lashon of Nisbashu Kulo Chatzi Bishul. However, the Magen Avraham does not seem to understand that way. The Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Chesif Katan Yud. Magen Avraham writes, Kasev Rambam, Hiniach Basar Gabi Chalom and Nisabok Yigeres Chayiv, Apilu Chatzi Bishulo, Ladasa Rambam, Ladasa Raivit. Well, our Rambam ain't a chayiv b'chatzi bishul v'nisbashel miksaso ad shiyisbashel kol habasar chatzi bishul. Again, Magen Avraham says, "Im nitzlabo kigargaris chayiv afilu b'chatzi bishul." That's the Ravid. According to the Ravid, if it is roasted bikigrogeres, then you're chayiv even if it's roasted Kamacha ben Drusai. Because that line that the Ravid is being mefarish and the Rambam is going on sleep. Lo nitzavok yigurgeres. Avon this bashel kulo chati bishel chayit. So the Rambam says the Ravid saying that when it comes to tzli, if it is nitzle, even kamacha ben dusai bikro geres or chayit. Ula Rambam. Eino chayiv b'chati bishol ben espashel miksaso ashi espashel kol abaser chati bishol. And for the Rambam, that's not true. For the Rambam, you're only chayiv, you're never chayiv for less than kol habaser, if it's only espashel kemachal ben drusai. The Magen seems to not be focusing on a distinction between Sli and Bishul, but he assumes that according to the Ravid's Hasaga, that's Kemacha ben Dusai, he's saying that even Bikur Geres is going to be Chayev Kemacha ben Dusai. And the Rambam is saying, no, you're only Chayev Kemacha ben Dusai if it's Nisbashel, the entire piece of meat, not only Bikur Geres. And the Shaar HaTzion picks up on this. In Sipatan Hay, the beginning of Shin Yafes, take a look at the Mishabruah Sipatan Aleph. In the standard printing of the Mishabruah, it's the beginning of the last word of the short lines. Hiniach Basar Gabi Gachalim, in this, let's see a Gemura Kishir Gergaris Hayat. If it's Nitzla, Kulo, Bikur Garis or Chayim. Afilu Hagur Garis, Ena Malka Macha, the Elam is Laka Vishnam Shoshim Makamas, even if it's not contiguous, Gamkin Chayim. The Afilu Imlo Hayatzliya Gemura, Raka Macha Mendusai, Gamkin Chayim. And even if you're only Tzolik Macha Mendusai, then you are Chayim, if it's Bikur Garis. Ela Debezesh, Ena Tzliya Gemura, Sarah Shiyeh, Habasar, Tzoli, Mishnei Astadim, Shel basar dafka vila pater. But if it's kamacha ben dusai, it has to be roasted on both sides. Chayin kasav haramba. Says the Shaar HaTzion, Sipkaten Hay, Ayin magen avram ha-shevi b'shem arayv ben yinzeh, veli rabbi sigo, v'gam arayv ben mod b'kol zeh. That the Magen Avraham understood that here you have a machlokas Rambam Ravid, whether you're going to be chayiv if it's mashiv kamacham yusai, even if it's only a grogaris worth. Achal ikar adin shehuska b'gemara da'al kamacham yusai bina mishnei yafstad in dafka yesh la'ayv mashiv huskar b'sif yud sham di'iroi mevashiv k'dei klipa u'mubursham b'ezach ronin du kamacham yusai v'lo rak b'tzad echad v'lo adif me'al gabi gachalim. So we'll get to the din of Iyur Mikli Rishon. You see that works even beside Echad. After Rishon, we come back and we see the Rabbanan Yesh, Avodah Chadash, Tzarech Iyun calls that. So Mishabura answers with Tzarech Iyun to understand what exactly the parameters of this distinction in the Rambam between Espashel beside Echad or Shnei Stadim Makam Medusai is. Yeah, keep it 1 second. Okay. But at the very worst, if you're mevasha less than both sides, kamacham and desai, it's still going to be us and midirabanan. So in practice, there isn't that much of a difference here in the bottom line. Okay, so maybe we'll come back to this in a different context as we go on, but we just mentioned this because this is where the Rambam introduces Chasi Bishul as his shiur for Machal Ben Drusai. But we got onto this because of the Shita Sarashba that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal is relevant even when something is Nisbashel Kamalcha Medusai, even if it is not Nisbashel Kula. That's the position of the Rashba, that's the position of the Chachmei Svar, that's the position of the Rush, Perek Gimel, Simen, Yud, Aleph. What does the Rambam hold as far as when to invoke Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? Rambam writes, Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel, Hamavashel Al Ha'or, Darishayim Avushel Kol Sarcho. If you're cooking over a flame, something that was already fully cooked, oh, davar she'eino tzarach bishul klal, or something that doesn't require bishul at all, pater. Again, you're cooking out or something that's mevushel kol tzarcho, or something that's eino tzarach bishul klal, is pater. So the pashas in the Rambam is that we only say ein bishul achar bishul. Once is this Vashik called Sarko. Darvishai Mavushik called Sarko. Then we say Ein Vishal Achar Vishal. That's the base. Also, if understands the Rambam, that's how the Mishabur groups the Rambam and the Beralacha in Siftal Yamaskal Afilu, that we only say Ein Vishal Achar Vishal. Once is this Vashik called Sarko. Problem is, the Rambam writes, pater. So pater usually means pater v'lasa, the silliness of the Rabbana. The Rambam saying that I only invoke Ein Bishal Achar Bishal once it's Mishpacha Kol Tzarcho, and it's still going to be us or me, the Rabbana. No one says that. I mean, the whole machlokas that we've been discussing till now is, do you say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal once it reaches Kamacha Ben Dusnai, or only once it's Mishpacha Kol Tzarcho? But everyone should agree, once it's Mishpacha Kol Tzarcho, then Heter Gomer. So why is a Rambam using the Lashon of Pater that if you have a Davar Mevushel Kol Tzarcho and then you cook it again, Pater? Sadly, there's still an Isser Derabana.
Barely back to the Yisur Derabana of Chazara.
Oh, good. So either you saw the Avnei Nezer, you come to the Avnei Nezer, we'll get there. So the Magen Mishnah over here in Seif Gimel the Magen Mishnah is Mitzayin, the Sugya and Kufim Hay, which we started with today. And then he quotes the Rashba. V'das ha-rashba u'tas me'am refarshim she'kol she'nisvash g'malka ben Dusai shuv ein bo mishum chi abishol dvar Torah. So the pashtus, I assume, would be that the Magen Mishnah is quoting the Rashba as a marmoko. The Rambam here is saying ein bishol achar bishol Vinisbashel Kol Sarcho. And you should know that there's another position we showed him, that of the Rashba and other we showed him, that once it's Nisbashel Kol Malcham and Dusai, then there's no more Bishel. That's a Drisha. No. The Magen Mishnah is quoting the Rashba because he's telling you that that's what the Rambam holds. And when the Rambam says Kol Tzarcho, he doesn't really mean Kol Tzarcho. He means Kamacha Ben Drusai. So Mevashel Al Or Davishu Mevushel Kol Tzarcho really means Kamacha Ben Drusai. Then you're Pater. But in a Konami, if it's Mevashel Kol Tzarcho, then it's Mutter L'chakila, because ain't bishul achar bishul. That's obviously a doche in the Rambam to say that kol sarcha doesn't mean kol sarcha, it means kamacha ben dusai, but that's the best of the options and understanding the Rambam, because otherwise, what does the Rambam mean by pater? But kol sarcha doesn't mean kol sarcha, means kamacha ben dusai. Then, if it's his mashal kamacha ben dusai, the Rambam saying it's still going to be us or midrabanan. If it's mevushel kol sarcha, then it's going to be heter gamur. That's Kiddushi Aran on Lamentas Amidala, Jumasal Kol Shabbat. Kol Shabbat B'cham L'tnei Shabbat, Shabbat B'cham L'tnei Shabbat, Pirshu V'Tosos, D'haynu B'nispashu Kol Tzarcho, V'haynu D'arminu N'la Perek Chavis, K'gon Mai G'on Tugloss of the Rav Apa, K'lomar, Sha'acha Sha'aysam B'vushalas Kol Tzarcho, Hayasharas B'chamin, Kidesha Tisrakech, Yoser. Aval, Kol Shalon is Vasha Kol Tzarcha, Afa Pishin is Vasha Kamakam and Dusai, the two low after the Chiyuve Yalem Yishom Bishol, Afilo Hachi, Ein Sharnasa, Mishom, the cave of the Al Gabaya or Mamish, Aser, the Hainu Lahafsir, the Aser betold us or Nami Machmirina Bay, Hovlin is Bashkozarko. Avalarashba Kasa, the Tolshin is Bashkamacha Mendusai, Shari. So the Ran has a middle position, and this is what the Drisha is suggesting within the Ran. I realize I slightly misspoke a moment ago. When what the Drisha is saying is that the Magen Mishnah is presenting the Rashba to show that within the Rambam there's a potential middle shita. In a Hanami, according to the Rashba, as far as Bishul goes, there may be Hafsara issues, but as far as Bishul goes, once it's Vashel Kamakab and Dusai, it'll be Mutter. And the Drisha suggests with Dasar Rambam, that's what we just saw in the Chiddushei Ran, that once it's Hisvashu Gamacham and Dusai, it'll be Aser Midrabanan Alaish, and only once it is Nisvashu Kol Tzarcho will it be Heter Gamor. So there's only Iser Dirabanan once it's Hisvashu Gamacham and Dusai, once it's Hisvashu Kol Tzarcho, it'll be Mutter, and that's what the Drisha thinks is Das HaRambam. Again, what the Ran writes is Kol shalonis bashe kol tzarcha, afa pi shenis bashe la kamacha ben drusai, detulo efshe the chiyuvi alem mishum bishol. Once you hit the macha ben drusai point, there's no chiyah for bishol anymore. Afilu hafi, there's still going to be an issur de rabbanan of sharonis habachamin, mishum de kevin de al gabaya or mamish aser, the hainu lahachzir. So since there's an iser of hachzara midrabanan to put it al eish mamish, so it's also going to be aser to be shoreh betoldas haor if it's lo nisvashu kol tzarcho. But that's only aser derabanan. As opposed to the Rashba that says that once it's nisvashu kol tzarcho, then that is heter gomer.
For the Ran, meaning it's a gezeira of the chazara.
I wouldn't call it a gzeira atu because that would be a gzeira gzeira. But he's saying it's like an ilaf halo kaimaha type of gzeira, that it's all part of the same package. That we would aser even the toldos haor because then that's all part of the same bundle as asering the hafsara.
What does that have to do there with Machal Ben Shusari versus the Kusha Kotoko?
Yes, he doesn't fully flesh that out. Maybe if it's not in the Spashical Tzarka, then we're more concerned that you're going to blur the lines, that you'll come to the Afsara. I hear it's not so clear. They're going to have to do a little more work to figure out exactly where that Issa D'Rabbanan LeRan fits in. But that's essentially how the Drisha wants to understand the Rambam, that if it's Nisbashel K'machal B'Nusai, there's no Bishel D'Oraisa anymore, but there still is an Issa D'Rabbanan until it is Nisbashel Kol Tzarcha.
Right. Are we sure that's like a middle shita, or we could say that the Ram is saying that the Das HaRashba?
No, the Ran contrasts it with the Rashba. Where the Ran says, "Aval Rashba zal kasa the kol shekhs bashi b'acham v'dusay shari." Okay, the Divrei Tal has a different approach here, which is what Yossi was getting at before. Divrei Tal ofa sipkatan yud os tesvav. He writes, once we've already established the position of Tosfos, Rosh, Rabbeinu Yerucham, that one something is nispashel k'malka ben drusai. There's still an iser of hafzara, but not of bishul. He says, let's understand the Rambam in that light. When the Rambam writes, Hamavashel ala or davar shahaya bevushel called sarcho pater. La vashmi enu deim loya bevushel called sarcho chayiv. It doesn't mean to say that if it wasn't bevushel called sarcho, you'd be chayiv. El mishum de kasav hamavashel ala or pater. Valash bienu de dafka ala or hu de pater aval aser aval betoldos or o kenegan amadura mutter lechakila ayam mochach lichtav davish ayam mevushel kotzarcho demaya kasav dino bimavushel stam ayam mashmash afil in espasha rakamacha bedusai. The Afgalu or Pater of Alasser, of the Toldas or of Kedagan Madura, Murta Afila Lachila. It says the Egle Tal, what the Rambam really means to say is that if it's Nispashel called Sartho, the only Issa Durabadan to speak of is an Issa Durabadan of Hafzara to put it Ala Eish Mamish. But as far as Bishel itself, the Toldos or where it's not ala eish mamish, that's going to be Heter Gomor. So if it's not nispashel called sarko, then it's going to be aser bein ala or bein the Toldos or mi derabana. Once it's nispashel called sarko, there's no bishul consideration. The only consideration is one of hafzara, not one of Bishel. So the Rambam writes, Hamavashel ala or Davrish ayam avushel called Sarko, or Davrish ayam sarach Bishel klau, Pater, but it's still an Isser derabanan, al tachzara, not al Bishel. Really, ain Bishel achar Bishel. And we're only worried about Hafzara. So if it's not in this Vashel called Sarcho, it's going to be Aser Bein Be'or Bein Betoldos Or. Once it is in this Vashel called Sarcho, then it's only Aser Be'or Al Hafzara, but not Betoldos Or. That's what the Avnei Nezer assumes. And before the Avnei Nezer, the Minchas Kohen wrote the same thing 200 years earlier. Minchas Kohen, Mishmeres HaShabbos, Perek Aleph. Minchas Kohen was a contemporary of the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi started in Altona and ended up in Amsterdam. The Minchas Kohen started in Amsterdam and ended up in Altona.
Michael Ben Jussi is an Isser or does it hit?
According to the Avnei Nezer, if it's Gamacha ben Drusai, there's going to be an Isser. He's not saying Chayev necessarily.
But it's Bishul Midrabana?
But it's Bishul at least Midrabana. I don't think he's Nakis to that Nakuda in the Rambam here. Right, he's not. It may only be Darabanan, but that's not what he's focusing on. But if it's once it's Nisbashel called Sarko, So then it's heter gamur betoldos or it's only going to be aser al or al tachzara, not al dishel. So again, if you have a tafshel that's nispashel kamacha midrusai, according to the Rashba, it's going to be heter gamur to continue to do bishel on that tree of achamin. According to the Chidushei Aran and what the Drisha wants to say with Asar Rambam, that's going to be Pater Aval Asar. And the Pashas of the Rambam is that if it's Nisbashel Kamacha Mindrusai, that you're going to be Chayav. The problem is what the implication of Pater, even if it's Nisbashel Sarkov, is. So that we have either the Drisha or the Egle Tal to work with. Rabbi Willig points out the following, Am Mordechai Simon Tess, that the Rambam here groups together the Bushel called Sarko and Davar She'eino Tzarech Bishel Klal, something that's fully cooked, and something that doesn't require any cooking at all. That's because the Chiyuv Bishul sets in where something is mitaken and mashpiach the food. So if something is nisvashe kol tzarcho before Shabbos, then any subsequent act of cooking is not mashpiach the food. And that's the equivalent of something that's eino tzarech bishul klal, where bishul is not going to be mashpiach the food. And he points out, you see this in the Shaar Tzion, Tzivkatan Kuf Yudalid. Charitian writes, Kufi Dalitine Barambam, Peritatha Lachagimu Kasav, Damavashil Darvish and Mavushil Kotsarcha, O Shaino Sarak Bishul Klau Pater, Upashil Niestaiti, the Hainu Darvish Ainam Nishtabeach Klau Ayadea Bishul. When the Rambam says something that doesn't require Bishul, it doesn't mean something that's inedible without Bishul. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean something that's edible without Bishul. It means something that the bishul doesn't enhance it. Lafuke peiros b'chi agav nu shemishtabeach ayde bishul. You can have fruit that's totally edible raw, but cooking it will still enhance it. So Shaar Tzion says that's not what the Rambam is talking about. When the Rambam says eino tzarech bishul klal, it means that the bishul not only is not necessary but doesn't enhance it at all. V'teda. The Lamuchah B'Gemara, Daf Mem, Demayim Yesh B'Mishim Bishol, even though you can obviously eat, drink water without any Bishol. So the point of Eino, sorry, Bishol Klal, is that the Bishol doesn't enhance the food. And that's the Tzad HaShava between Mefushah Kol Tzarecho and Darvish Eino Tzarech Bishul Klal. The Ein Bishul Acha Bishul is relevant where the Bishul, the subsequent Bishul, is not going to further enhance the food. So maybe that's the Machlokas, Rambam, and or other Rishonim, Tosos, and Rashba. According to the Rashba, once something is nisvashko malchum adusai, there's no problem with bishul. You say in bishul akar bishul. Once it's nisvashko malchum adusai, that's because the gather of bishul for the Rashba may be that once you've hit a halachically consequential bishul, then you're done. Then even if the bishul will further bishul may further enhance it, but you've already accomplished your halachic bishul, game over. Then you can't be chayiv for any subsequent bishul. But the other Rishonim that understand And Bishop or Bishop is only relevant once, since Vashkol Sarko would have this understanding that Bishol accomplishes a tikkun, a enhancement of the food. So even if it's a Vashel Kamakam and Desoy, if the Bishol still enhances, you don't say Ain Bishol Achar Bishol. So Rabbi, one second, Rabbi Willig points out that may be relevant to the Prima Gadim we mentioned last time. Prima Gadim Mishmas Azav Sipkatan Vav. Do we say that once something is Nisvashel Bechama, that there's Bishel Achar Bishel if you're Mevashel subsequently the Eish? So the Prima Gadim is noted to say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Once it's already cooked Bechama, even if that's not a Bishel that's going to be Mechayiv in Hilchos Shabbos, but Lamaisa, it already affected a Bishel. So maybe the Prima Gadim thinks putting it the eighth subsequent to that would be Heter Gomer. So that fits with the Rambam or this approach that once something is Nisbashel b'Metzias, then Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. If it was Nisbashel b'Chama, even if it's not a Halachic Bishel, but Lamaisa was Nisbashel, and any subsequent Bishel b'Eish is not going to further affect the food. But according to the Rashba, if the thrust of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is simply halachic reality, that once it's Nisvashel Gomachom and Yisrael, that was halachic Bishol, so there's no liability for further Bishol. Here, it'll bring you to the opposite conclusion, that Bishol B'Cham is not halachic Bishol, even if the Mitzias it was Mivashel. So then, if you're Mivashel B'Eish, subsequent to the Bishol B'Cham, maybe according to the Rashba, you would be Chayim. Even though he acknowledges that's not Bechreya, could we go into the Rashba? Maybe you need both. Maybe you need both a halachic bishul and a bishul that affects the Bimitzias in order to then say Ein bishul Acha bishul. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, just making sure I understood correctly. We were suggesting that the Sharatzion was only true for Tosos, but not for the Rashba.
For Tosos Rambam and not for the Rashba. Okay, but bottom line, well, halacha, we accept that we only say Ein Bishol Achar Bishol once it's Nisvashel Kol Tzarcho. Tafshe Shem Nisvashel Kol Tzarcho Yesh Bo Mishem Bishol Im Nitzanein. Then lo Nisvashel Kol Tzarcho Afil Nisvashel Kamach Ben Yusai Shayach Bo Bishol Afil Bo Derosaya. That's Bedavar Lach, which we'll talk about next time. Darshan Svashel Kvar, Vu Yavesh, Mutu Lashos of Bechav and Beshabbos, and Bedavar Yavesh, Shalom, Svashel, and Beshabbos, Ein Sharon of Sabacham in Beshabbos. Says in Mishra Bruce of Katan Kavzayan, Kamacham and Dusai, who had been Yosir at Yigmer Bishulo, Shaykh of Bishom and Atora, Afilo of the Roseach, Poshid Afilo Aydein, who the Yosir Gomer Abishal, the nearer to be the Eved, Ein Lesser Atavshil, the Ishlis Machal Apostkin, which is over him, the Kemishin is Bashi, the Machal Mendusai, Shuv Ein Bazem, Mishnah Bishal. Even though we assume that Ein Bishal Akabishal is only relevant once it's Bashi Kotzarcho, that as far as Maisa Shabbos and the ability to be Makel for Maisa Shabbos for minority opinions in Poskim, or alternative opinions in Poskim, the Mishnah says that's relevant here. Since there is a group of Rishonim that subscribe to the Rashba's position, at least as far as Maisa Shabbos for the Eved, there's what to be make of that. Okay. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek Aleph, footnote Nun Vav, Sifkaf and footnote Nun Vav, quotes from Shlomo Zalman the following, that if you have a tafshil that is fully cooked, so if it's fully cooked, we should say, according to everyone, Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, but inside this tafshil, inside this chalent, There are chicken bones, and the chicken bones, if they are further cooked, will become soft and edible. You should be makbid that they should be mevushal, kol tzarcho, and edible before doing anything to them, before taking it off the flame and putting it back on, subject to tanai hafsara. Meaning, if you have a cholent with chicken bones, that subsequent cooking will make them more edible, we would not say ein bishul achar bishul. So this was brought to Ramosha's attention in Chelek Daled Simen Ayin Vav, 1980, regarding cholent that has chicken inside, and is already nigbar bishul on Erev Shabbos, but you want to take some of the cholent off on Friday night, subject to tonight Yachzara, have a little bit Friday night, put it back on the flame, on the crock pot to have Shabbos lunch. And these chicken bones become softer to the point that you can suck out the marrow. And some people maybe even eat the bones. So Friday night, when you want to take the cholent off the flame, it hasn't yet gotten to the point of even kamacha bin dusai for the chicken bones, so it should be aser b'hafzara. And he heard that Rishon Zalman asered. So says Ramosha, he never heard this topic discussed before. Maybe it's because in Europe and even here, no one ever took cholent off the flame on Friday nights. The institution of having Friday night cholent is a recent innovation. In Europe, that definitely wasn't the case, says Ramosha. In Europe, it was a whole big asek to get the cholent off the flame. Both of my grandfathers, one in a big town in Pol big city in Poland, the other in a small town in Germany, both recalled that the cholent Friday night before Shabbos was placed in a communal oven, a bakery or another communal oven, and taken out Friday Shabbos day. So it wasn't so easy to access it at will. So Moshe says, we never heard of such a thing of having Friday night cholent. Aside from the fact that maybe by us, no one puts chicken bones in cholent, it's only meat bones. Meat bones never soften, they're never edible. So it's hard to say that there's a minhag Yisrael Torah that you can freely take your cholent off Friday night because the metzias didn't exist. We have to research when the phenomena of Friday night cholent began, but Ramosha wasn't so familiar with it in 1980. So Moshe says, the number one, you have to be done, is there really bishul when it comes to bones that are not edible? It's true that there is a notion of bishul by non-edible objects, but that's where the bishul enhances or helps form the kli. But over here, the bishul isn't doing anything to make the bone edible. No one's eating the bone. And even if someone's going to eat it, but that's not the norm. And you can't really call that ochal. And Moshe says, so maybe the bishul will have the effect that it's going to soften it, and then you can suck out the marrow. But that's not bishul. Maybe that's tikkun mana. Bish is only if you're cooking that which you're going to eat. The Rosh doesn't understand what the concern is, but he says, since I saw in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he posted in Shlomo Zalman, that he's Machmir, even though he says, if Shlomo Zalman's Lashon is Yesh Lahakbid, Yesh Lahakbid doesn't sound like an Isser Gomor, sounds like a recommendation. So he says, go ask Shlomo Zalman what he really holds. And if this is an Eretz Yisrael phenomena, Shlomo Zalman is here in Eretz Yisrael. So go ask him. Show him my tshuva and see what he thinks. So Shlomo Zalman responded, Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Vav. He wrote a letter to Moshe. He says, these bones are stumim on every side, and the marrow inside is kemunach b'kutsa. So if the bones wouldn't be eaten at all, so then you're right, Rav Moshe, that there's no bishul. Even though further bishul will make the bones softer and easier to break to eat the marrow, but since the bone is absorbent, the amount of bishul needed for the marrow shouldn't be different than the rest of the meat in the pot. And the softening of the bone is only to allow you to break it, and that's not for bishul. So what did I mean when I was quoting Shmir Shabbos? That's talking about the bones themselves, that some people may actually eat the bones when they're sufficiently soft. Together with the meat. And that is a problem. And then he says, even if you're right that in Europe no one ever had challah on Friday night, but the housewife may have tasted the challah on Shabbos morning to see if it's ready or to see how it tastes, and then put it back on the source of the heat. And in theory, if you have bones that are still not cooked then, if they take it off first thing Shabbos morning and eat the challah hours later, so maybe they should have encountered the shaila there. So Shlomo Zalman acknowledges, if no one's eating the bone, then there's nothing to talk about, but his concern is that some people are eating the bones. So Rav Moshe, in the response back, Chela Dalet Simonai and Vayin, is skeptical about who's actually eating bones. Says, even in Eretz Yisrael, in America, no one puts chicken in the challah. Even in Eretz Yisrael, even if the Baal Batim are not particularly well off, but they probably have meat for challah and not just chicken. And the Aniyim V'Yoser that don't have chicken even on Shabbos, or the yeshivas that can't afford meat, they only have chicken. So that's only a meat of the population, even in Eretz Yisrael. And even if you have a few yechidim, then maybe we'll eat the bones, but that's not enough to concern us. Valadaito etel kalada. And if it's going to soften in order to suck out the marrow, and then you're going to suck on the bone, Again, he doesn't think that that's a bishul issue on the bone. Then Rosh Lama Zalman responds back that if there are people that do eat the bones and they like it and there's some taste to it, then you have a problem. But he still says Sarachi, and why Shlomo Zalman says no one ever really discussed this before. The bottom line, it sounds like the consensus, has anyone ever encountered challen with chicken bones? Yeah? In Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah. And my family, B'nai Brah.
Okay. Do they eat them?
No. It's usually put to the side.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to make chicken soup in a pressure cooker.
Okay.
And one of the side effects of that is that the bones get soft to the point where if you chew on them, they just disintegrate. Like, mamish edible.
That did not happen at
Okay.
I don't know if you do that without.
So Shlomo Zalman seems to assume that if you're going to suck on the bone and it'll be soft enough that mimela, that mimela you're getting something out of the bone, even if you're not eating the bone, that would be a problem. And Rav Moshe doesn't seem to think that that's a problem either. The only problem would be if your mom is eating the bone, according to Rav Moshe. And even if you're eating the bone, Rav Moshe thinks you'd still say baladaito if you don't have a significant number of people that eat bones, eat these kinds of chicken bones. So that does seem to be the consensus, like Rav Moshe, that even if you did have this metzias of chicken bones, it would be okay, especially if you're not intending to eat them yourself. I mean, even if it's theoretically edible, but if you don't intend to eat it yourself, and that's not the normal way of eating it, it sounds like the consensus would be like Rav Moshe, that's what Rabbi Karp writes, that's what the Aruch HaShabbos writes. Unless, at the very least, if it's Mishpacha K'macha Ben Dusai, then you're definitely okay. Rabbi Karp writes, B'Shem Rav Yashiv, I don't know if this is based on experimentation, that even when it comes to chicken bones, if it's cooked for 4 hours before Shabbos, that's considered to be sufficient bishul. It sounds like that's even called sarco for these purposes. So again, for us, it's not so halacha l'maisa, but the theory is interesting. At what point are we potentially concerned a bad bishul, archibishul for a part of a larger chalet?
So if I intend on eating the bones myself, can I rely on Bat Daita to be master at the hachila?
Rav Moshe thinks so, meaning if you're doing something that's not the norm, now the Rav Moshe thinks yes, and now the Shlomo Zalman is more skeptical about that. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. Next time, we will talk about the more relevant angle of Bishul Achar Bishul, the Davar Lach, and then how to define a Davar Lach. So Wednesday, Sasha.